ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 11th कैंटो 10th चैप्टर द नेचर ऑफ फ्रुइटिव एक्टिविटी टेक्स्ट नंबर 6। अमान्या अमत्सरो दक्षो निर्ममो दृढ़ सौहृदः असत्वरो अर्थजिज्ञासुर् अनसूयोर् अमोघ वाक्। अमान्यमत्सरो दक्षो निर्ममो दृढ़सौहृदः असत्वरोऽर्थजिज्ञासुर् अनसूयोरमोघवाक्। अमान्यमत्सरो दक्षो निर्ममो दृढ़सौहृदः असत्वरोऽर्थजिज्ञासुर् अनसूयुर अमोघवाक्। बोली मान्य मत्सरो दक्षो निर्ममो दृढ़सौहृदः जिज्ञासुर् अनुसूयुर अमोघवाक्। मान्यनन्तो दक्षो निर्ममो दृढ़सौहृदः असत्वरोऽर्थजिज्ञासुर् अनसूयुरमोघवाक्। मान्यमत्सरो दक्षो लेडीज मत्सरो दक्षो अमानी विदाउट फॉल्स ईगो अमत्सरः not considering oneself to be the doer, dakshaha, without laziness, nirmanaha, nirmamaha, without any sense of proprietorship, over one's life, over one's wife, sorry, children, home and society, jada saurudaha, being fixed in the mood of loving friendship with the spiritual master, who is one's worshipable deity. Asatvaraha, without becoming bewildered due to material passion. Artha jidnyasuhu, desiring knowledge of the absolute truth. Anasuyuhu, free from envy. Amogavak, completely free from useless conversation. Translation: the servant or disciple of the spiritual master should be free from false prestige, never considering himself to be the doer. He should be active and never lazy, and should give up all the sense of proprietorship over the objects of the senses, including wife, children, home and society. He should be endowed with feelings of loving friendship towards the spiritual master and should never become deviated or bewildered. The servant or disciple should always desire advancement in spiritual understanding, should not envy anyone, and should always avoid useless conversation. No one can claim to be the permanent proprietor of his so-called wife, family, home, society, and so on. Such material relationship appear and disappear like bubbles on the surface of the ocean. No one can claim to be the creator of the material elements that produce one's home, society, and family. If it were a fact that parents were ultimate creators of the bodies of their children, then children would never die before their parents. Parents would simply create new bodies for the children. Similarly, parents would also not die, because they would create new bodies for themselves to replace the old ones. Actually, God creates everyone's bodies as well as the material elements with which we build our material societies. Therefore, before death drags these things out of our grasp, we should voluntarily engage them in the loving service of the spiritual master, who is the bona fide representative of Lord Krishna. Then such material objects, instead of causing lamentation, will be the cause of happiness. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Yananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We are on 11th canto and Sri Krishna is instructing Uddhava. He has heard from the 24 gurus, the description of 24 gurus of Avadhuta, and now Krishna is directly instructing Uddhava. This chapter is very deep, because what appears to be having been told to a grihastha are actually all instructions of the Lord and Guru to be given to a renunciate. Obviously, when it is told that family, wife, children, society, money, it appears to be being told to a grihastha. But if you read further, you'll understand that it is all meant for ultimate renunciation. It is not simply how to run grihastha ashram nicely. It's talking about the ultimate goal. Because the situation is such that Uddhava is a very intimate friend of Krishna and he is extremely distressed to having come to know that Sri Krishna is living. So he had to be first pacified and also he had to be set in a on a platform which is perfect for human life. So Sri Krishna is doing that job personally because he is a close devotee, close friend, close everything. So that is why the patra who is listening to this instruction is Uddhava, the highest possible personality who can be there to listen. Because he is the disciple of Brihaspati, he is the cousin brother of Krishna, he looks like Krishna, he is closest friend of Krishna, who sits, eats, talks, you know, jokes with Krishna. He is the closest minister, advisor of Krishna. He is everything. And what one can imagine to be achieving in his life, Uddhava already has achieved. The closest possible association of Sri Krishna is achieved. And nobody can imagine, is there anything higher than that? You are so close to Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that personality, which is so close, so elevated, so exalted, is now distressed with the fact that Sri Krishna is leaving. So Sri Krishna has to give him the best of best knowledge to pacify his agony and to also set him on the right platform. So Krishna in one way has become his guru. Although Brihaspati is guru, but Sri Krishna is also instructing him at the very delicate moment of his life. All this life he has enjoyed the close association of Krishna. And now Krishna is going to leave him. He wants to go with Krishna, but Krishna is going to tell him, no, you stay here only. So the even the essence of this verse and the verse before and after many verses, they ultimately come to the same point, that we may desire anything in life, even spiritually. But unless stamped by or unless endorsed by the spiritual master or the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, it has no value, even if it is spiritual. It will not yield any spiritual advancement or progress unless it is ordained by Sri Guru and Sri Krishna. So he very much wants to go with Krishna. He has lived with Krishna. So all the right he has to go with Krishna, wherever Krishna goes, Krishna has kept with him, all his life in Mathura and Dwarka. He has also utilized him for the most precious and intimate services, like sending letter to Brijavasis. But now he is saying, you know, not going to come with me. He said, I want to come with you. He said, no, you are not going to come with you. You have to stay back. And you have some important service to do. So that is where he is trying to, in one sense, there are all spiritual emotions, but still he is trying to cut the knot between him and his desires to ultimately fulfill the desire of the Lord, which is the most important thing in life. It is wonderful if he goes with Krishna, but Krishna has something higher than that for him. And that is the principle of guru and disciple, the tattva of guru tattva and the shishya tattva. The essence of that is described over here in the whole chapter, in the whole leela. They're ultimately guru mukha padma vakya chittete koriya ekya. The ultimate essence of all the spiritual life, we chant Hare Krishna, we follow four principles, we do Vaishnava Seva, we go to Dham, we worship the deities, we read Bhagavatam. All that has to ultimately boil down to one fact, that we have to concentrate, focus and meditate on the order of Guru. And that is the key for the spiritual success. And that is the key of spiritual success in the beginning of spiritual life, in the most neophyte condition, and also in the ultimate most advanced condition like Uddhava. What one has to focus is to follow the instruction of Guru. Thy will be done. We have to make our desire one with the desire of spiritual master. whose desire is one with Krishna's desire. So we have to effortfully understand that I may be having multitude of spiritual desires, which are very nice, but I have to still make my all desires in alignment with my Guru's desire. Because my Guru's desire for me is Krishna's desire for me. Because Guru has the revelation of what Krishna wants from you in his heart. So when you have faith and you have that alignment, then Krishna speaks through your Guru to you to make you understand what is wanted out of you, which may be exactly contrary to what you think you should be doing in service to Guru and Krishna. There's a catch there. And even in form of spiritual desires, Maya can enter in between to convince you, no, this is very spiritual, highly spiritual. But to get out of the Maya, one has to understand what Guru wants. Keep everything aside and just listen what Guru wants and to try to follow what Guru wants. So, it is explained by Srila Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita that no one can become Guru without following the principles of Guru Parampara. We have to again and again reiterate this fact that today there is, as we are progressing in Kali Yuga, there is a crop of Gurus, self-made Gurus, who have a lot of following, who look very effulgent, who have long beard and were very big aura and lot of anuyais following them. It's too tempting to understand that, oh, he is a very bona fide, powerful spiritual personality. But unless and until that personality is connected to the bona fide Guru Parampara, he has no potency. He has no spiritual power to deliver his disciples. So many followers, thousands and millions of them will all go somewhere else than the ultimate goal of life. No one can be spiritually realized if he or she, you know, manufactures something of his own spiritual formula. This is another temptation. You are not performing any sinful activity, but you are speculating on some spiritual formula which you think is the best formula, and there are so many in market, so many types of spiritual formulas available, but they will not lead us anywhere. They'll completely bewilder us. And they make it more and more complicated and mystic, guhya to understand, to make it feel more bona fide, more guhya it is. But if it is not in alignment with what Krishna has said in scriptures, it has no value. Mental speculation and dry arguments can never help anyone on right path. You see, these points which Prabhupada makes are such simple points, A, B, C, D points. But they make so much deep meaning in our spiritual life. Because at all stages of our spiritual life, there is a tendency of mental speculation. A tendency to imagine. Tendency to do something which is imaginary. And there is a tendency also to argue. Why this, why not? Actually, Prabhupada put one sannyasi in construction in Vrindavan. Another sannyasi to preach. So the sannyasi whom he has put on construction, he was asking, why I am put in? Counting the bricks. I joined ISKCON movement, I took sannyas so I can travel and preach. Just be immersed. I came to Vrindavan for that. And you have put me in counting the bricks and the cement bags. It looks so contrary. I am not a civil engineer, or I am not a laborer, or I am not a supervisor, I am not a civil contractor. I am nothing of this. I have no background of this. So that is our nature. We are a sincere devotee, but at the same time, there is a argumentative, speculative things come up. Okay, why I am doing what I am doing? Why I am told to do things which I don't like to do? I am not cut for that. But the spiritual master exactly knows how to engage oneself in Krishna's service, what is important for spiritual purification, purification of the soul. And one has to have faith in that. We may be asked to do something which we have never thought in life of doing. Totally contrary to your capabilities, your expertise, your skills. And generally we are told we will be engaging our skills in Krishna's service. That is favorable engagement. But be prepared that things might be told to us exactly contrary to what we ever thought in life. And readiness to obey that contrary instruction to our thought processes, to our personality, is actually the secret of spiritual advancement. And also not accepting with pain, with frustration or with, you know, what you call, we have to do it, what to do. There's no other way. I'm unhappy, but I have to do it. Not in this mood. If we follow those contrary instructions in gratitude, with grateful heart, the more the instruction is contrary and the more grateful you are, the higher the advancement you make in short time. That's why we always discuss this, that spiritual advancement is an internal process. It is not something what you show externally. Who is doing what? And how great achievements materially from statistic point of view are being achieved. What is important is to see how much internal progress we have done. And that is all concentrating on one point. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitte Te Koriya Aika. Simply we learn to meditate on the instruction of Guru. Because the instruction of Guru is not just a superficial action that is to be performed. It is very deep. It has got lot of meanings and it has got lot of scope of spiritual realization once we start following the instruction. And the more you follow the instruction with deep faith, the more realization, the more widespread, wide ramified spiritual realization will appear in your heart. So let us not make spiritual life, you know, very esoteric and very complicated and very materially speaking, very advanced. Let us be very simple. Srila Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Chant Hare Krishna and not offend devotees. I will take you back to Godhead. As simple as that. We may not know all the highest form of complicated philosophies, but we simply know how to follow the instruction of Guru. Like that Brahmin in South India. He didn't know anything. He didn't know Sanskrit. He didn't know what is Bhagavad Gita. He didn't know a word of understanding what is told in Bhagavad Gita. But he was simply with full faith following the instruction of his Guru just to read. And he was attempting to read. Everybody was laughing at him. It was ridiculous actually, the scene. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified him as the highest devotee of highest realization whom he had achieved. So one may be a dumb, one may be an illiterate person, one may be a fool number one. But once whatever instruction is given, we have to have faith that the power to follow the instruction come with the instruction. And that gives you deep realization. Mahaprabhu glorified him, Mahaprabhu revealed his glory by asking him, why are you crying? He said, I can see the Supreme Lord has become a charioteer, a shudra for his devotee. What does that mean? The charioteer Rathi will keep on kicking him right, left and center to tell him to go right, left and straight. That position he has accepted. That realization came even without understanding one line of Bhagavad Gita, just by attempting to follow the instruction of Gurudev. That same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealing glory of that Brahmin. He went to Gaya and his Guru told him, you are a fool number one. For you, no scriptural understanding is required. You just chant and dance. So everybody asked him, why are you dancing like mad? This is not ordained in scriptures. This is foolish activity, to dance like mad on the road. But he said, my Guru told me you are a fool number one. You have to just chant and dance. So I am chanting and dancing. So even the Supreme Lord is apparently following an instruction which is laughing stock for others. But he is very keen and fully focused on doing that. Whole life he did that after returning from Gaya. So the Lord is also exemplifying. Sri Ramchandra surrendered to Vasishtha. Sri Krishna surrendered to Santipani Muni. As a humble mumukshu disciple who knows, doesn't know anything, submitted himself, cut the wood like any other ordinary disciple, did everything. Why Supreme Lord is doing that? You see Lord Ramchandra, you see Lord Gauranga, you see Sri Krishna doing all this again and again. Simply because that principle of Sri Guru is so important in spiritual life, to reiterate that Lord himself is following, although he doesn't need to follow. He took sannyas from Keshavarti, gave mantra in dream and next morning heard mantra from him. Why he is doing all this drama in one sense? Now, what is the need? He is Supreme Lord. Why to waste time? We all know you are Supreme Lord. But he is again and again doing those menial things again and again in every incarnation to show us that this is the principle. I reveal, Sri Krishna says, I reveal the spiritual realization for a disciple only through the heart of his spiritual master. And whatever is needed, how much ever is needed, I reveal in the heart of Guru to reveal it to disciple. There is no other channel. Scriptures are there. You may read. You may by heart, memorize all the shlokas of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and everything else also. But still it will not give you any spiritual realization. Unless Sri Guru's instruction empowers you to understand the meanings in between the lines of those scriptures. So it's a one way looking very simple principle, but very, very deep principle. Very, very deep principle. So one has to accept a bona fide spiritual master. One more line is there. Mental speculation, dry arguments cannot help one in right path, nor by independent study of books one can make spiritual progress. Like nobody can buy medical books in market and become doctor. By studying the books from back, page to page, he cannot become doctor. He has to have a doctor who can teach him actually how to handle cases. You cannot buy engineering books and become engineer. You cannot buy IIT books and become IIT graduate. So scriptures are not end in all. They are means. But one needs a teacher at all stages of life. One has to accept a bona fide spiritual master in full surrender. Serve him menially without any false prestige. We have example of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. His father told him, you have to go to Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj. And Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj has never studied any scripture. He was illiterate person. He couldn't even write or read. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati at the age of 7 was giving pravachan on Bhagavad Gita. At the age of 13 given pravachan of Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the meaning of his giving pravachan? He had Bhagavad Gita fully memorized. At 13 fully Bhagavatam memorized. And at the age of 16, 17 he was a walking encyclopedia of scriptures. Everything that is to be heard or read, he already had read and memorized. To tell him anything, he was so expert and he had studied so scrutinizingly that you can refer any point, he will give you 100 references and he will explain very, very beautifully, eloquently. So such a contrast. Even Gaur Kishore Baba told him when he went to him, you are a walking encyclopedia. I can't even read and write. What is this? This is a total mismatch. How can I make you my disciple? You have to find somebody else. I am most unworthy to become your guru. But what is significant point in this whole story is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, that time, Bimla Prasad, was not having any pride that my guru is illiterate, I am fully literate and fully learned. Without any false prestige, he approached him. Twice he rejected him. Third time also he rejected him. And he said, now I will commit suicide. What realization he had in heart? What is the use of all this knowledge that I have if I don't have shelter of Sri Guru? If I don't have mercy of Sri Guru? All this scriptural knowledge is like a big burden on my soul which will drown me in the material ocean. All this knowledge, if at all it is useful, it is going to be useful only when Guruji will give shelter to me, accept me as his own. And through his mercy, all that spiritual knowledge which is like a big ocean will transform into spiritual realization. Otherwise, all is going to be a waste and plus is going to be a burdensome activity. That humility, that being without false prestige situation was there in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's life. That is why it's an ideal combination. Looking at his determination and freedom from false prestige and desire to surrender and to follow, even externally illiterate guru, looking at his determination and understanding, spiritual understanding, they accepted him. And that is why there is spiritual potency. That's why everybody was running away from him, all Mayavadis, as soon as they got the news that he is coming. That potency came due to the surrender to spiritual master. And all of us, everybody of us, however insignificant one may be, but if we just take this principle to the heart and concentrate our heart on the instruction of Guru, everybody can become world acharya. We have example of so many sannyasis in ISKCON. You ask them how many times they met Prabhupada. So many will say zero times. Many of them will say zero times. There was no personal interaction between them and spiritual master ever with Prabhupada. But today they are such powerful realized acharyas, because they did not insist on physical association, physical attention, physical instruction and physical proximity. They focused on vani, which is the more important part of the association of guru between bodily and verbally. More important is vani, not vapu. So they focused on that. And those who are with Srila Prabhupada, they also got wonderful realization because of their dint of surrender. Those who did not meet Srila Prabhupada, they also are highly realized because of the understanding of the principle that I want to follow the instruction of Guru. His Holiness Radhananda Maharaj tells ki in our times, nobody thought that we must get association of Prabhupada physically. Prabhupada had such less time. He was so old and he had to finish so many things. He was traveling all over the world. He had to open so many temples. The movement was new. So there was no question of expecting that spiritual master will sit with me and he will guide me under a tree like the olden times. It was a big mission. And cooperating with the desire of spiritual master, which means no physical association, is more important association than being physically with him. That was understood by this batch of Prabhupada disciples. Therefore today all of them are gloriously preaching all over the world, effectively transforming lives. Because we have so many desires. Who will not love to be with spiritual master, physically one to one? Who will not like to talk to him regularly? But more important to understand is the heart of Sri Gurudev. What is his mood? To align with his mood, to meditate on his mood, to understand his mood and to follow that in our day-to-day lifestyle. That is what is important. And spiritual master is always with us. Whenever we are aligning with his mood, whenever we are meditating on the instruction given by him, he is intimately associating with us. We are intimately associating with him through that meditation. The proof is that when Srila Prabhupada was in America alone, wandering for 1 year with no following, no shelter, no money, people asked him, how do you feel? There's one picture is there, Prabhupada looks very morose in that picture. He said he was never morose. My spiritual master was always with me, he said. It is not just a dialogue to impress all the Westerners. The very thing that he was in America was a proof that he was meditating on the instruction of Gurudev, because the whole life from age of 22, he was meditating deeply how to follow the instruction of going to the West. It was a big instruction. Whole of his life he was meditating throughout his grihastha ashram, when he had first baby, second baby, third baby, fourth baby, middle-aged, business, all the while traveling Mumbai to Bengal chemical here and there, traveling. All throughout time he was meditating deeply how to follow the instruction of Gurudev. He attempted in between, even the attempts failed, but he kept on trying. His Jhansi project failed, his business failed, but he kept on meditating. And finally, the very fact that he was in America was the proof that he was always meditating on the instruction of Gurudev. And that is why he didn't lose hope. Because he knew, if I am attempting to follow my Guru's instruction, that is the perfection of life. It may yield result, it may not yield result. It doesn't matter. From the spiritual point of view, from subtle point of view, if one is attempting to follow the instruction of Gurudev, that itself is success. All that is required, all the spiritual realization that is required will be revealed in the heart of that devotee who is simply attempting to follow the instruction of Gurudev. And the instruction of spiritual master may be very insignificant sometimes, or sometimes very big and deep, like given to Prabhupada. For example, I was traveling, one time driving Gurudev in Mira Road, and Gurudev asked, why are you not wearing seat belt? I said, yes, 2 minutes, Maharaj, we are reaching in 2 minutes. He said, in 2 minutes only big accidents take place. When we are most assured nothing will happen, that time only big accidents take place. So whether you are 30 seconds driving, 1 minute driving, 5 minutes driving, always put seat belt. So since then, it's almost now 15 years, I am putting seat belt. So what has happened is, it's a very insignificant thing. But when it becomes order of Gurudev, every time you put seat belt, you are making spiritual advancement. Every time you put seat belt, you remember your Gurudev. Every time you do that, you are making spiritual advancement. And by the way, my dear friends, you should know, I underwent a very dangerous accident 3 years back. And only because I was wearing seat belt, I just came out without having any bruise on my body. I was hanging upside down, the car was upside down. My wife was hanging on the seat belt, I was hanging on the seat belt, and nothing happened. The car was completely damaged. So spiritual master's instruction will give you continuous advancement and also will save you from greatest danger of life. I would have died in that accident, and that also wouldn't have been lost. What is most important, what Guru's instruction saves you? Guru's instruction makes you remember Krishna, gives you the memory of Krishna. Now my mercy is not that I was saved and nothing bruise did not take place on my body. Mercy is that instantly there was memory of the Lord. And we can clearly understand when we follow the instruction of Gurudev that what is required to save you from Maya will appear in your heart, and that is memory of the Lord, remembrance of the Lord. As simple as putting on seat belt. But with that instruction, when you follow, you get that blessing of Gurudev. The protection from the complicated network of Maya is actual mercy of Gurudev. So many people got very simple instructions, many people got very deep instructions. Whether simple or deep, what is important is concentration and following them. The Prabhupada also further mentions that submission, service, menial service and humble inquiries constitute proper combination for spiritual understanding. We explained in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's case, submission, without having false prestige, just submit yourself. Don't materially calculate who am I, who is he, or who is he, who am I. Just submit yourself. And put relevant inquiries regularly to spiritual master or his representative, which are related to your spiritual advancement, not something else. Not like some people go and ask Guru, for my daughter I have a proposal from foreign country and one proposal from India, which I should accept. There are so many people who go to spiritual master to ask like that. I have got this house and that house, which I should take? I have got this job and that job, which job I should take? Some people ask, where should I invest money instead of going to Anandindavan Prabhu? They ask spiritual master. So these things, when we waste our time and energy to ask spiritual master or spiritual predecessors like counselors or Shiksha Gurus, what happens is we get totally astray and we get bewildered in the course of time. Because material nature is there to only bewilder us, distract us from the right path. Somehow or other, even if you have gone long way on the right path, still she is there to distract you from that most advanced situation also. And that distraction and bewilderment is saved when we do relevant inquiries to the spiritual authorities regularly. That will keep us fixed, undeviated from the path of spiritual life. And second point is menial services. Most important for highly educated people is to do menial services in spiritual life. Because that all the pride that we have of our education, high parentage, high birth, high education and money and financial situation, whatever we are in, that is the network of Maya. If we identify those situations with those situations, we will definitely get bewildered by Maya. That is our weapon. If we get attached to those weapons as our own, then it is easy for her to bewilder us. So performing menial service is extremely important. Even if we give 10 days continuous 4 hours lectures on Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and crowds of thousands are mesmerized, still if you come back from the lecture to temple and you are asked to wash pot, you should immediately wash the pot. Because all that is gained in the account of false prestige through all that experience immediately is nullified when you wash the pot in temple under the authority. That is why in temples, however highly educated people join, they are first to ask to wash the utensils of the Lord and the devotees. But that will wash us off the false prestige that we have been carrying for ages together, lifetimes together, which are the big hindering blocks in our progress of spiritual life. So, that is why we always say it is better to make a humble beginning. in poverty-stricken condition, in a humble housing, in a humble schooling area, walking barefoot to the school. These things are important, because then when time comes in life, you go up and you fall down because of some material bad happenings. It is not difficult for that person to do menial services, again go back to menial life. But somebody is highly born, highly educated, highly rich family, if he has to crash down one day because of the ups and downs of material world, become poverty stricken, very difficult to sweep the floor and stay asleep on the floor. But as devotees, we have to make sure that whatever happens in life, we should be ready to do any menial service as possible. Because that menial service actually is a purifying activity. No matter what we are. It is difficult for the ego, but very good for the soul. The medicine is very bitter, but very good for the disease to get cured. So never hesitate to, whenever asked to do any menial service, never hesitate, just do it with heart. Spiritual master is extremely pleased when man is doing menial service, not necessarily directly to him, but for anybody, to any devotee or to the project of service that he is implementing. If one is ready to do menial service, it is very pleasing to spiritual master. But what is lacking in the material world is humility. What is abundantly available is false pride. Even if you don't have anything, pride is abundantly available. You can be also proud for when in nothing. But keeping that humble attitude and readiness for menial service is a very beautiful way to please spiritual master. And then what happens? One point Prabhupada cautions over here. Blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. They are very dangerous in spiritual life. What is blind following? Blind following is without knowledge. He says that if a devotee is doing devotional service without proper scriptural understanding, then he is Kanishta Adhikari. This is what Prabhupada said in lecture 2 days back. And when the disciple is doing spiritual activities, doing his services with proper scriptural understanding, proper philosophical understanding, he is Uttam Adhikari, the Prabhupada says. So we should make all the effort in life to find a bona fide spiritual master before we find a bona fide spiritual master. Do all the inquiries, study scriptures philosophically, but once you find a bona fide spiritual master, there is no more scrutiny after that. You can't go on scrutinizing for whole life. Scrutiny is over when you accept him as spiritual master, submit yourself, start performing menial services, and sometimes contrast instruction comes, keep following without arguing, without scrutinizing. It's a big challenge. After 10 years of spiritual master's initiation, suddenly a contrast instruction comes. Then you can't again start scrutinizing whether he is a bona fide guru or not. Then it becomes very bewildering. One should be fixed after once you do the scrutinizing analysis. And never waste time of yourself and Gurudev or your spiritual authorities making absurd inquiries. Discuss always things with devotees when you are with devotees, what is relevant to spiritual life. Because it is said already that human life is so rare. And in the human life, what is rare is devotee association, Durlabha Satsanga. And in that Durlabha, which is very rarely available, if it is available to you now, you are simply wasting that association which is very Durlabha in some absurd inquiries, in some absurd discussions. That means the precious jewel you have, and you are using it to rub your clothes of dirt. You have Kohinoor diamond and you are using it to wash your clothes. It's something like that. The most precious thing used for something most useless thing. So we have to save ourselves. If we want to get real good spiritual understanding in depth, then blind following and absurd inquiries should be avoided. With all this, when we are on right path, we don't waste time, we are focused, we are meditating on the instruction of Gurudev, we want to become his menial servant, we are trying to do serve nicely. When the spiritual master becomes satisfied, the guru blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. It's like not necessarily all the spiritual understanding will come through scriptures only. The scriptural knowledge will become meaningful and relevant when spiritual master is satisfied. So satisfaction of spiritual master is the key to enter spiritual world. And one may be appearing very menial person, not famous, not doing any great external voluminous services. But if spiritual master is pleased with you, you are sure. And that pleasure of spiritual master has to be maintained throughout the life. Not that 15 years you doing activities to please him and 16th year one day you deviate. As surrender is continuous, even the pleasure of spiritual master for you has to be continuous. And you have to keep acting constantly to keep the spiritual master pleased with you. At least pleased with your endeavor, if not the result. Genuine spiritual understanding is not bookish knowledge. It is a genuine realization of the heart. It comes from the heart. And when any realization comes from the heart, then it never goes away from the heart. It may be scriptural understanding, it may be lost when time comes. The most important thing is when things are fine, everything is okay, things are smooth. But when calamity comes, when some disturbance comes, when a big test comes, at that time if one is situated in doing menial service, humbly in submission to spiritual master, he doesn't get deviated from his path of self-realization. That is the secret. If everything is happiness is going on nicely in spiritual life, we will not realize anything greatly. When absurd things happen, untoward things happen, unwanted things happen, unexpected things happen in our life, and we are most bewildered, at that time if we are fixed on following the instruction of Guru, then two things happen. We are saved from the calamity, from getting bewildered, and we get deepest of all realizations. So in all the situations of happiness or distress, Guru is the pivot. We are stuck, we are completely rooted in that pivot, then nothing greatest calamity can shake us from our path of life. So these things are mentioned in 4.34 in Bhagavad Gita. And the next verse, very beautifully Sri Krishna explains, with this genuine spiritual realization, which is achieved by the mercy of Sri Gurudev, what happens? One will never fall in illusion again. Even if in the middle of material world, in the illusory Kali Yuga conditions, one will never fall in illusion again. He is forever saved from illusion. Then one will see all living beings as part of Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are in him and they are his. What Sri Krishna says? Once you come to know the spiritual understanding, true understanding, you will know all beings are in me. They are in me and they are mine. They belong to me, they are in me and they are mine. That transcendental vision comes in the heart of all the devotees who are actually menial serving Gurudev, following his instruction. And then, in next verse Sri Krishna says, even if he is one of the biggest sinners in life, if one is connected sincerely to a bona fide spiritual master, he will be able to cross over the ocean of miseries in life. See the power of Sri Guru. Many of us are big sinners of the past. We have done so many things, knowingly, unknowingly. But connection of spiritual master, sincerely when we have adopted, and adopted the lifestyle of being his servant and following his instruction, then all those things which are in the past record are nullified, illusion is vanished, and we will easily cross over the ocean of miseries, which is due for all of us. The very fact that we are here, we are supposed to go through the ocean of miseries in this life. That's why we are here. Otherwise, why should we be here? But that assurance is there that we will be saved from this suffering of ocean of miseries. And the next verse, Sri Krishna says, Guru's mercy will burn all the papa phalas. All the fruits of sinful activities will be burnt by the mercy of Sri Gurudev. So how much Sri Gurudev is doing for us? Imagine. How much? And everything is actually happening down the line. Nothing externally. All that surgery is happening inside. All the progress is happening inside. All the understanding is inside. Behavior is external, but all that is happening inside. And we have to seek all those things which are within. We have to have our spiritual life as journey within. We don't have to do anything to show externally. Because ultimately, externally when people see, they may get bewildered by so-called advancement. But Sri Krishna is not impressed with that. Sri Krishna is very interested in knowing what is happening in your journey within. And all that Sri Gurudev is doing is everything is within. And that is wonderful actually. And that when something happens within, it is deeply felt and realized by a devotee. And that is a treasure of our human life. What is realized at the level of the heart by the blessing of Sri Guru is the highest treasure of life. No other treasure can match with that treasure. But that treasure of the deep realization by the mercy of Guru can lead us back home, to lead us in service to Guru and Krishna eternally, saving us from all the time to come from the bondage of material world. So that's why we have to be free from false prestige, never consider himself to be the doer, never should give up the sense of, we should give up the sense of proprietorship. When we follow the instruction of Gurudev, we should not feel that I am the proprietor of this temple, I am proprietor of this van or this project and this land is under my control. This kind of proprietorship is very natural when we grow. It's an accompaniment of spiritual progress. These are all accompaniments. But effortfully we have to keep them aside, because today we are the proprietor of big project, tomorrow we will be washing pots in temple. What is the difference? As long as there is service, it is all right. Today there is a chair and authority, tomorrow there will be no chair and authority. Things will always change in the material world. So this will give us understanding. Whatever I have today, even in spiritual life and in service, will not accompany me all the time externally. What I need to get attached is to the service, not to a particular service. I need to get attached to some service to Guru and Krishna. That we need to get focused. If that is our preparedness, then there is no worry. Even we fail externally, like Prabhupada's Jhansi project failed, Bengal Chemical failed, many family life, Jhansi project, spiritual project failed, but nothing failed actually. There was always service, there was always instruction of Gurudev which he followed. And the success is not the expansion of ISKCON, succession is that success in following the instruction of Gurudev, which manifested in the external success, which today we are also enjoying. Because he focused on the instruction of spiritual master, we are enjoying today wonderful, happy spiritual life, blissful spiritual life. Not as much struggle as he went through, all the fruits of his wonderful surrender and meditation, we are enjoying. What Giriraj Maharaj and other Swamis struggled in Juhu temple, everybody is now relishing a big, established, well-known, precious location of Hare Krishna movement in Mumbai. So that is our legacy. Srila Prabhupada struggled in his instruction and in his following instruction. His disciples struggled in following his instruction, and next generation are enjoying the beautiful spiritual fruits. We don't have that much difficulties. We go to all the dhams, all the darshans we take. But these people who are following their instruction, I remember his own Giriraj Maharaj, he said our movement was only in the temple room. And when he came to Bhaktivedanta Hospice, he said, my movement is only from temple to hospice. And I asked him, he said, we never went to Nandagaon, Barsana, Kokilavan, Javat, Kamyavan. I don't know these places. We never went there. But if you hear his lectures, most deepest possible realizations are there in his lectures. So, you may not go to Kamyavan, but all the realizations that you receive after going to Kamyavan will be revealed in the heart of yours when you follow the instruction of Gurudev. That is called Prabhu Datta Desh. Where you stay to follow the instruction of Gurudev, all the holy dhams are revealed over there. All the holy rivers are revealed over there. All the choicest of spiritual realization is revealed in the place where you are following Guru's instruction. It may be in the hellish situation on the earth. But that is your area of service, that becomes Prabhu Datta Desh. And there you stay in the middle of demoniac atmosphere, but that is the holiest of place for you as far as you are concerned. I am concerned, you are concerned. That is the beauty of spiritual life. What is seen externally is not the reality. What you feel within is the contrary reality within you than the external world around you. So let us all, it is very easy to speak sitting over here, let us all help each other to remind each other to focus on the instruction of Gurudev that has been given to us. What we have heard in the lectures, because Guru Maharaj tells that I may not be able to meet all of you individually, But whatever instructions I have to give you, I am giving through my lectures. Come to lectures, come to yatras and listen to the instructions. And even one of the instructions will take lifetime to follow perfectly. So there is, if we get physical association and one-to-one interaction is good, it's a bonus thing. You should not avoid that when it comes. If it is not available, there is nothing to get morose. No reason to get morose. As long as you have your service, you have your instruction, you have the holy name given by Guru, nothing is lost in life. Everything is abundantly available. All that is required for us to progress in spiritual life is available in the instruction of Gurudev. Hare Krishna. Are there any comments, questions? Ravindraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Uddhavji Maharaj ki, Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki. Hare Krishna.